Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's in that other box, and he's bringing the awesome. His name is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Dude, I'm in a good mood today.
You should be.
Dude, I went to the DMV, and it was like the most painless experience of my entire life.
That's incredible news.
It was a 10-minute experience, and I was so thrilled when I was out of there. I had to get a slice of New York pizza.
Yeah, you did.
I just had to.
Yeah. No, I get it. My last DMV experience was pre-COVID, and it was an absolute nightmare. So it was like, here, come at this time. Hi, I'm here at this time. Okay, it's really about 40 minutes. So why don't you come back, go get something to eat, come back in 40 minutes. I came back in 30 minutes. My number was already called, so I had to wait another 2 hours.
Dude, I was 20 minutes late for my scheduled appointment. They were like, oh, just go inside. It's fine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We need people.
10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes.
With us this week is Anthony Lai. He is the co-founder of Tap Blaze, a pizza aficionado and developer of Good Pizza, Great Pizza, a pizza shop simulation game. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Yeah, nice meeting you guys. Nice meeting you, awesome. Steven, Aldi.
Awesome to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Your game looks adorable, and we needed to ask you a million questions about it. for those of you that are new to the show, just like Anthony, this is the Dual Screens Podcast. This is an interview show where we bring on industry guests, be it solo devs, a husband and wife team, an artist, a musician, a voice actor. Everybody has a story to tell, and we want to be the place for them to do so. The show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. And of course, right now, we are officially on Pandora, so if you want to go listen to us over there, you can do so as well. And of course, it'll show up as a video podcast on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. So please consider giving us a subscription and a thumbs up and leave a comment. Maybe there's a game that we haven't covered yet, a dev that we haven't gotten on the show of your favorite indie game and you want us to do it, leave comments. That's the best way that you can do it. And if you want to support us on Patreon and become a member of our Discord channel, just go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. That'll get you into our Discord where you could ask us questions before, after, all the behind the scenes stuff. We actually invite our indie dev guests as well to be in there. So if they want to join, you could talk to them about their games and stuff. It's a great place to hang out. But enough of that nonsense. Let's dive right in here. And I want to start us off, Andy, if it's okay. I want to start us off with one of our listener questions because I think it's a great way to start.
Yeah.
Okay. This comes from Miss Enough. What is the difference between good pizza and great pizza?
The difference between good pizza and great pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For me, every pizza is good.
That's true.
Right? But the great pizza is a pizza that makes you think about it the next day. And that will make you drive or wait or take the subway and go back again. And you don't mind doing it. That's the difference in a good pizza and a great pizza, in my definition.
Yeah. I like it.
Now, to expand on that, do you consider Domino's, Papa John's, or Pizza Hut actual pizza?
It's pizza, but you won't catch me eating that. I'm just a pizza snob, I guess. But I go to a lot of events before, and you know, sometimes I order like Domino's or Pizza Hut. I won't touch it.
It's the best way to describe those is it's a guilty pleasure. It's a when you want that salty deliciousness that you're definitely you're thinking about it the next day, but only because it's taking revenge on you in your bowels. That's why you're thinking about it the next day. But you guys came out at Tap Blaze. You came out with this game, Good Pizza, Great Pizza. It's a pizza shop simulator. What else can you tell our listeners who have never heard of the game or anything like that? Tell them what is Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Well, the whole idea of playing Good Pizza, Great Pizza is it's just a simulation game. And my whole life, I just liked simulations. You know, it just lets you learn about a new role, something new, right, while being immersed in it. So that was kind of what the whole vision for Good Pizza, Great Pizza was I grew up in Queens. We me and my brothers and my friends, we ate pizza like every week at least, right? And our favorite shop is Gino's in Elmhurst on Broadway, near the public library. It's still open, you know, after 30 years or so. And, you know, it was just like waiting for the day every week, you know, when my parents were like, okay, we'll take you guys to get the pizza, right? So I always imagine like what it would be like to run a pizza shop, right? And yeah, that's kind of the thesis around good pizza, great pizza was, A, I wanted to learn more about pizza, like what's involved in making it. Because just because you eat it doesn't mean you know how to make it, right? And secondly, what it is to run a pizza shop. And that has a lot to do with customer service. And, you know, growing up, you know, I in a working class neighborhood, you know, a lot of people were doing customer service roles. And I just wanted to know more about it and just be, I think if you were able to simulate that situation, I think it gives you a new appreciation for what other people do. Because a lot of times you see people treat workers like not so nice, not so, like pretty rude. And, you know, every job is hard, you know, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of little details to it too.
Yeah. I was in the food industry, so like I get that, but like a lot of these games that do the you know, running a restaurant or running something, they step away from sim and they go into arcade kind of, you know, high score type stuff. What are the differences between something that is more of an arcadey like restaurant running game or like a cafe type game, because I kind of got cafe vibes from this. Like, I'm trying to think of like actual names of games, but like I got this very, very chill vibe from this thing that it's less about rushing to get orders ready and like beating a high score and beating a timer. Otherwise, you're gonna get angry customers. Yeah. But it's more about
there is rush and there are angry customers.
That's what I wanted to ask. What separates this from those types of games?
Yeah, so when we were working on Good Pizza, Great Pizza, I mean, this is like years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, almost all the cooking simulation games were like what you described as basically time management games, and where you just like get a bunch of customers and, you know, instead of, and it was no dialogue. It was all just like, you know, a customer appears and they show, you know, show a hamburger or a drink or a salad, right? And you just like mindlessly put it, serve it, right?
Right.
And to me, that wasn't very simulation. It was more, like you said, arcade kind of game, like who can get the highest score,
right?
Who can manage the time better. So actually, Good Pizza, Great Pizza was our third pizza game. So the first one was the reason why Good Pizza, Great Pizza is very has kind of relaxed feeling is it took 3 tries to get to that level. So the first game was just about pizza making, and it was called My Pizza Shop. And in this game, all you did was make pizza, but we kind of tried like Zen-like, you know, where it was just like, it was like free. It was like a sandbox game where there was no time pressure. But the problem with that game was no one really cared for it because it wasn't really a game. And then the second game we did was called My Pizza Shop 2. It was, it had a gameplay, it had a challenge, you know, like you had orders, right? But then, you know, for me, that game still wasn't good enough because it was missing something, and you know, it was missing basically the interaction with the customers. So that's why in Good Pizza, Great Pizza, we have dialogue. So customers actually come in, and some people might go, I want a pepperoni pizza, right? But then sometimes people give you like riddles, or they just say like, surprise me. Or there's some like random customers that come in and be like, oh, can you give me money? Can you help me out? And it's really based on, I think one of the original artists, his experience, but he also worked at a pizza shop. And then some other artists that worked on the game, they also worked in customer service, like fast food. And, you know, I'll just listen to them tell the stories. Like, you know, they're like, oh, sometimes customers come in and just ask, like, where's McDonald's? You know, they're working at a Hawaiian, like, a fast food place. And then someone comes in, like, can you tell me where McDonald's is? And like, oh, all right. Or can I just use the bathroom? Right. So it's just, like, really, like, I want to say, like, it's not weird, but it's just like mundane stuff that only if you worked at a fast food place or customer service would you get to experience. And a lot of the other games won't have this because they think this type of details don't really add to the gameplay. But to us, I think it adds more to the gameplay. Yeah.
We had, I was just, to expound on that, like when I worked at, I used to work at an Outback Steakhouse, and when I first started, I was, like a busboy, whatever in that. And I remember my manager, I was in the kitchen and my manager said, "Hey, can I get a soup? Let me get a hot bread. Let me get a soup." And I think it was like maybe some French fries or something. I don't know. It was like little stuff that you could easily just put in a thing. And she was like, "It's for Henry," I think his name was, or something like that. And I lived in this neighborhood my entire life, so I know almost everybody in this neighborhood. I worked, the restaurant was literally 15 blocks away from my house. So like I know everybody, but I don't know who Henry is, whatever. I think I just started there. And then I saw her go out into the parking lot. She gave this homeless guy food. And apparently this guy used to come up and he would sit in the patio, and sometimes he'd be sleeping overnight at the patio outside the restaurant. And when the manager or the owner would come in the morning, she started talking to him and realized, oh, he's a homeless veteran. He's not a drug addict. He does drink. I mean, he'll have a can of beer with him and he'll be drinking, but you know, it had an overhang, so he was just there overnight. But he became a friend of the manager, and like she said, anytime you come here, you don't feel ashamed to ask me for food. I will give you food. I will give you, you know, what we can give you. And if it's one day, it's something super, you know, a big meal, if I could do it, I'll do it. But like usually it's like when they first opened, so they didn't really have anything cooked yet. Yeah. They just had like the soup. But yeah, that just reminded me of it. Like that is a very, there's something very personal about running a food a food industry business. And I was wondering, why were these interactions so important to you outside of just that you felt that they were missing from the game? Like outside of just making the game better, why were those interactions important to you?
I think the main reason was we wanted to add, it's not even Easter eggs, but like, I'm not sure if you got to the point in the game. We actually have a homeless person in the game, mm-hmm. actually two, and they come in, and we give the player a choice to help them or not, right? And if you don't help them, nothing really happens, right? Like, you don't get penalized for it. But if you do help them, something a little bit more special happens in the game. And for us, it was just a message of, you know, like, these little details matter, but also, you know, try to help people when you can, if you can, and you know, just give first, and you might receive later, right? And it's just like it's just some kind of philosophy that, you know, I'm into, and I just want to give that message out and share it. And again, if you know, not everyone has their own opinion, and so we don't penalize anyone if they don't do it, right? But if they do, I'm like, oh, cool, and I'm just hoping it just gives gives everyone who plays this game a different outlook. Or maybe they go, hey, you know what, maybe, hey, I see someone that needs some help, they ask me, I'm able to, it's not a big deal, why not?
I like how, in a sense, the game sort of steers you into helping, because when you talk to customers on a daily basis, plus you have that asshole across the street yelling at you every morning when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
And then the homeless guy first appears, like, hey, can I get some help? I'm starving. And it's like, oh shit, how can I can't turn this guy down. I have reputation on my hands. My clientele would think less of me if I said no to this guy. I gotta help him out. But I was wondering if I just give him, like, because I gave him a full-blown pizza with like pepperoni, sausage, like the works. But if I gave him like just a hot crust, would he have yelled at me like, what the hell is this nonsense?
No, but it's funny you mentioned that. And we actually have if you go into I think it's our Reddit, there's actually a post on Reddit where people said they feel guilty when, you know, they help the homeless guy, but they only give him like, you know, flat bread. They don't put sauce on it or cheese. You know, they're like, every time I serve him with flat bread, he's happy, but then I feel guilty. Like, I should have just gave him the full pie.
Could have worked with this guy.
Yeah, so, but you see, that's what's great, right? It's like, everyone has empathy, you know? It shows, like, empathy, right? Like, even though you're like, oh, this is just the game, but just, you know, be like, feeling guilty that you're just giving him, like, something so cheap, you feel, like, a little bit empathetic. It's, you know, it's really interesting to me, yeah.
So what kind of research goes into making three pizza games, and how have you stayed so thin?
I just have a fast metabolism. But I mean, yeah, I like I mentioned, you guys, I grew up in Queens, New York, my whole life. So yeah, I just ate pizza every week and try so many pizza places. So I just really into it. And in terms of research, you know, we got lucky because we just, you know, one, the original artist, he worked at a pizza shop. And so once I heard he worked at a pizza shop, I was like, all right, we need to hire you. You know, tell me the stories, right? And then we worked with a writer and then some other writers to like develop it further, make it into a game. And yeah, if you just like things like that, like for me, pizza, it's just, you know, it's just, I'm just so used to it. You know, you just understand about it enough, I think. And then for me, it's also about asking questions to the shop owners. So I mean, sometimes I'll go to a pizza shop. I'll sit there and I'll just observe other customers going, ordering food, how the pizzeria owner or workers serving it, how they're interacting, right? And most of it's really mundane, right? Usually it's nothing ever, you know, every time observing, I never see anything crazy happens. More always like someone comes in like, hey, can I have a slice, two cheese slices, you know, Coke, right? And then they pay, you know, it's kind of boring, but yeah, just observation.
That's a great job, just to watch people order pizza all day long. Yeah. I'll get paid for that any day.
Pizza is one of those things that like, it's really hard to not know what you're getting yourself into in that transaction. It's like, you go, you see everything right there. If something doesn't look good to you, you know it before you put it in your mouth that you don't want to eat that. So you just go, oh, that one. I want that one. And then they heat it up and then they give it to you and you go, okay. And you go sit at your table, you drink your soda, you eat your pizza and you leave. Like it's just, it's like this, it's just like a conveyor belt of people who just want something delicious for a few minutes. And it's like kind of an in and out thing. It's not like a situation where you got somebody staring at a menu for 15 minutes. Like, you know what you're getting. You're ordering pizza.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of thought or research put into the phone end of this thing? Because you know how pizza is here. It's I want to say the pizza business is 90% delivery.
Yeah.
Have you had any conversations about doing something with deliveries or anything like that?
The bigger vision for Good Pizza, Great Pizza is, like, you know, we have this community of players that really like pizza or at least interested enough in the game to be willing to learn about pizza, right? And, you know, for me, the next level is, what if you can actually make a pizza in the game and be like, hey, you know what? I want to order this pizza. And then, you know, like you tap one and be like, hey, send this order to my local pizza shop, right?
You went big brain on this one. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been trying to do this. I've been talking to several, you know, random companies and partners. So, but it's a big, big ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it'd just be cool, right? You're just making something that's virtual and then turn it into something real.
Almost like 3D printing your pizza.
Mm. Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the first foods they 3D printed? Wasn't it a pizza?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Surprised either. Yeah.
Because that food transcends all cultures, is the pizza.
Yeah. Well, that brings another good point. Like, so a lot of people always ask us, like, why pizza, right? For me, I love pizza. I know a lot about it. But also, I noticed that pizza is universal. Go to almost any country, they have some form of bread or some sauce and some meat. So everyone knows it. It's at least somewhat familiar with it, right? Mm-hmm. But in the game, we're kind of pitching, we're not focusing on like New York style, US style pizza, right?
Right.
But so for me, you know, making a game, it was about how can I reach the most amount of players? And that's why we chose pizza. And another reason we chose pizza was, you know, if you think about it, pizza is like a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to like you know, when you're like making the pizza, it's almost like painting. You have total freedom. It's not like, I don't know, a burger where it's like you're just stacking, right? You can't like tilt it this way, that way, right? So yeah, that's another reason we went with pizza.
It's a work of art is what it is.
Until you're there, especially in like a regular conventional oven, like that you would find in a person's kitchen, like when you're making it, you don't realize just how much goes into the pizza before it becomes the pizza. Like when my wife and I got a pizza stone and we were really big into making pizzas way back when we started our relationship, and it would always be too heavy, too oily, too the, and like you start researching, okay, why are the pizzeria pizzas this way and ours is this way? And it's like, oh, because their ovens are like 600 degrees and they only put them in there for like 5 seconds. And also their cheese is dry. They shred all the cheese for days ahead of time and then they refrigerate it. So it comes out dry like a bone. So when you put it on, it just melts and it doesn't just pool all this oil. And like the sauce, they put a thin layer, but some of them pre-bake the dough a little bit before they put any toppings on. It's like there really is an artistry into it. How did you bring that artistry? How do you translate that artistry into the virtual world?
Like we don't go into like that much detail about like the dough and the sauce. Mm-hmm. I think for us, the details is in A, figuring out what the customer wants, the order, right? And then after that, how to make that perfect pizza for the customer. So it's A, you layer, you know, how much cheese you put on, how much sauce you put on, and then how you place the toppings. So that's where the skill in the game takes place. Like, figuring out what the order is and then being able to execute it, you know, within the, you know, rules of what a perfect pizza is. And in our case, it's 18 toppings, 18 pieces of toppings, right? And it's six slices, and it's six slices is a little strange, but the reason we did it was it just looks visually a little bit more appealing than the eight that people usually do in New York. And also, the original artist, he worked at Costco. And in Costco, if you order a pizza from Costco, they do it in six slices.
They're like
usually.
That big.
It's like a huge, So, you know, we were playing around like eight slices of six, and then we just thought like six just looked right for the game.
See, I grew up with six being like the medium pie, and eight is like the large variety. Hmm. That's what was around here growing up.
I'll tell you this right now. Do not diss Costco pizza. Because that pizza, let me tell you, it hits a certain spot.
It
does it. It's got that thick-ass crust. Speaking of, we actually have a question. Where the hell is it? I lost it. Okay. Where'd it go? Oh, besides pineapple, what is the most ridiculous topping to put on a pizza in the game? Now, that's because Buzz is taking a shot at me because I don't mind pineapple on my pizza, but he has some issues with that. But he also asks, are there other options like square, round, or deep dish pizza?
Not right now. Everything, like it's all just like New York style pizza. And pineapple is the most, you know, ridiculous. I think second most is maybe eggplant.
Ooh, okay. You're saying eggplant is less ridiculous than pineapple.
He speaks the truth.
Well, because you know, in New York, right, there's always eggplant parmesan slices. I'm not sure it's popular anymore, but growing up that was kind of popular. So for me it wasn't that strange, but pineapple was a little bit more rare, actually.
Right. There's actual eggplant parm sandwiches. So I see the connection there between the grill from sandwich to pizza, but pineapple is just ludicrous.
When you fold a when you fold a slice of pizza, does it become a sandwich?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or if you put like two slices on top of each other, does it become a sandwich at that point? Or does it become a stromboli?
It becomes a heart attack is what it becomes.
What do you mean? You're just eating it. You're going to eat two slices anyway. You might as well eat them at the same time, Andy.
Right.
cut that time to pleasure in half.
You're like, it's only one slice I've eaten, technically. I've done the motion for one slice. I can have two more as one. And then you've had like two pies back to back.
My brain exploded, Andy, when we were in high school and we had a pizza eating contest. And of course, the heavier kids are going to win, right? But I saw this kid. I saw this kid pile two. He was folding two slices on top of each other and he was eating them in seconds. And I was like, first of all, that's genius.
What were the stakes?
didn't have to pay for the pizza. I don't know. I have no idea what we were doing. Right? We were dumb. Like we were playing cards and ordering pizza. I don't know. We were just idiots. And the other thing that he used to do when we weren't having a contest, if we were just eating pizza, he ate his pizza upside down, not backwards, upside down. And we're like, why are you doing that? And he would say, because the flavor is on the top of the pizza, so I want that on my tongue.
Wow.
And again, same kid. So I didn't question it. I was like, okay, absolutely.
I gotta ask Anthony, do you eat your pizza like this or like turtle style, like cupping it that way with like the crust?
Who eats it like that? it's like this style.
There it is.
I don't really know what you call that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the fold. That's the New York fold.
It's the fold, yeah. New York fold.
Absolutely.
I also gotta ask, I have to make sure, just for my own sanity, that I don't suck at this game. So I'm a few days deep, and my profit margin is like $20 a day after my rent and my expenses. Yeah. Is that normal?
Yeah, that's normal. The game is a little challenging. Yeah. And, the economy in the game, it's a pretty hard thing to balance. So it's still a work in progress. I mean, this game has been a work in progress for a long time. And especially porting it to Nintendo and Steam. Because, you know, the game originally was a mobile game first. And, you know, mobile is free, right? Free to play. So bringing it to Steam, we actually had to redesign the whole economy. And that actually helped because, you know, we started working for, you know, making a Nintendo version. It made the work a lot less heavy because we already had the Steam economy kind of optimized. But as you can see, yeah, the profit margin is pretty low. So, you know, we're still working, improving it.
So you're still going to be like changing things and keeping the game updated and stuff like that?
Yes.
What kind of roadmap do you have for it?
Right now, mobile is still our main focus because mobile, we just have a huge fan base, a huge player base that play the game constantly. And right now, our current roadmap is every year we kind of release a new chapter. So, you know, last year we did chapter 3. This year, we're trying to finish Chapter 4. It might be a little hard, so it might get delayed because we had the Nintendo publishing to get done. But in the meantime, we are working on more events for the game. So what that means is, for example, right now, not on the Nintendo version yet, but on mobile, this week and next week is a gardening event. So basically, in the game, you have a community garden that you can use to grow your own, you know, toppings.
Wow. Are you growing your own pigs to slaughter for that delicious chopped bacon?
Not that realistic. I mean, for me, it was like, you know, if I had a pizza shop, say in New York City, right? I'm thinking like, what would I do, right? Like, you know, you can order ingredients, but, you know, everyone's into like, especially like the younger generation, they're into like organic, you know, like farm to table. Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So I'm like, hey, you know what? What if I had a building in New York City, either the back alley, I'll make a little garden and I'll grow some basil, grow some tomatoes, grow some whatever, and I'll make that the special for the day. Right. Nice. So that idea went into the game. So right now there's an event going on in the game where you're able to use a garden, and we're using that event to learn what players like and what they don't like, and also for us to experiment. And then if we like what we see or we have better ideas, we'll kind of try to integrate the gardening mechanic into the game. Because right now, in the current game, you get an eggplant from this like botanist, and it just sits on your counter. And then every few days, you like water it, and then it grows some eggplants for you. But we want to take that idea and kind of make it bigger.
So, I want to move back in time a little bit and talk about how you got into game development. where did your career start? Did this start as like something that you did in school? Is this something you did on the side? How did your career get started?
Well, all right. So growing up in Queens, I was always into science and stuff, you know. And so actually I did a whole route. I did a whole engineering route. I went to engineering school in New York City. And then after that, I moved out to California to go to grad school for engineering. Did that. And then I lived the dream of like, oh, I want to be a, you know, I like, there's a guy called Howard Hughes. I'm like sure you guys are familiar with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, it's like basically what, who Elon's trying to be right now. But anyway, this guy was a great engineer, right? Visionary. And I always admired him growing up. So I was like, wow, I want to be like, you know, get to that guy's level or at least somewhere near that level. And eventually you started working at his research lab in Malibu. It's called Hughes Research Lab. But, you know, after a few years, I just kind of bored of it. And the reason why I got bored of it was I was working on all these projects, but no one was using them, or I didn't know who was using them, right? Or either be put on a shelf. And for me, it was more about, you know what, I want to make something creative, right? Because the stuff as an engineer I was working on was actually pretty creative. You know, like we're giving a problem and you have to solve it and it's up to you to solve it. So that was very creative. But like after you solve the problem, you make the product, who's using it? Like it never got any feedback. And growing up, you know, one thing I, you know, my brothers and I always did was eat pizza and play Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, you know, just name it, N64. We had all the systems and it was really fun times. And I remember back as a kid thinking, wow, it would be cool to like make a game and get it on Nintendo, right? But as a kid, you just think that's like impossible because you need a big company. You got to connect with Nintendo, right? I don't know how to program at all. Like as an engineer, like I wasn't a programming software person. I was a hardware person. But yeah, so, you know, after working engineering for a few years, I was like, this is not for me. I don't see myself doing this forever or for too long. So yeah, my talk to my brothers and they're like, hey, they supported me. They're like, hey, why don't you just try it, right? So I quit my job. I did a few random things, like freelance things on the side. And then eventually, you know, I came with the, you know, this is 2011, I want to say. And I know I wanted to make games or make software, but I didn't know how to. And I didn't know how to publish games. But then I noticed everyone's using iPhone and Androids, right? And then I did some research and I found out, hey, anyone can be a game developer right now. You can just pay $99 to Nintendo, Apple or to Google Plus, $25 at a time. And then as long as you make the game, you can publish it. And then it's up to you to do the marketing. And the first idea I had was actually a cake decorating game. And the reason why was 2011, everyone was talking about cakes. There's always like Cake Boss and Cake Wars. Yeah. I was really into Food Network. That's all I watched, like, you know, in grad school and even when I'm just working at home.
Not a fatty.
Yeah, you and your food, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew all the shows on Food Network. I knew everything, and I was like, you know what? Everyone likes cake, so let me just try to make a cake game. Because and I was like, just try. So I hired a programmer, I hired an artist, I gave myself a budget. I got something made, and then I just published it on Android. And then I just learned about how to do the marketing, and then it just kind of took off. And then I just slowly made more games, and then eventually I wanted to make pizza games, and so I started making pizza games, and that's kind of how it got to be where I am today. Yeah, just the momentum just kept building, and I just kept wanting to do better. Yeah.
So you're on Nintendo now.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome because it's like that, growing up as a kid, I was like, wow, how do you make an intent cartridge, right? Like, how do you get this game in here, right? Like, growing up, I like Battletoads, Super Mario. That's actually one of my favorite games. It's like a game called Street Fighter 2010.
Oh, boy.
It's like that really game was so bad, but so good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I still remember it because there was this like place on in Elmhurst. It was like a job lot, I think it was called. It was almost like before 99 cent stores. It was like, you know, where like the products that couldn't sell, they would like resell it. And, you know, we saw like Street Fighter 2010. Like, we never heard of it, but it was like a bunch of them. And it was really cheap. My mom was like, all right, you guys want it? Fine. We bought it. Didn't have any expectations for it, but it was just fun. I don't know why. I mean, it has horrible reviews, but for me, like, to this day, I still play it. Maybe at least be on it, you know, just to like live that nostalgia.
You know who made that game, Anthony?
Who?
That was Capcom.
Yeah, I know. It's Capcom. Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Capcom also made a game about the Noid. Remember Yo Noid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
You see where I'm going with this?
Do you see?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So six degrees of separation here.
I think we need to know it in your pizza games. Just saying. He's been out of work for a long time.
He has been. He has been. A friend of mine has a face mask with the Noid on it.
Oh, wow.
He's like, now, hopefully nobody will talk to me now. It was his caption. The fucking Noid. How annoying was that thing? And I can't believe they had a game too. So when you were learning, when you put your first game on mobile, you said you had to learn basically marketing for yourself.
Yeah.
What did you learn over the course of the years? Like what approach did you have then that is different from now?
Yeah. So, this is, you know, 2010, 11, 12 around the time, you know, just app marketing, game marketing on at least on mobile wasn't, I want to say not hard, but it was a lot less challenging. And it was a lot more like trying to not game the system, but you just knew, like, for example, Google and Apple both were very basic back then. You know, they just looked at keywords, right? Look at what your reviews were. Like, you had good ratings. So it was more like kind of like, it was very like basic, I want to say. But over the years, right, that, you know, maybe that still works, but we don't even focus on that anymore. Like, we don't try to like optimize our app store or, you know, stuff keywords in
the algorithm
these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, we don't care because, you know what, the algorithm keeps changing, and there's so many games published right now, there's so many people trying like these shortcuts, right, to like gain the system. It doesn't work. It might work short term, but long term it doesn't work. So for us, our main focus now is just the community. So if you go onto any of our games right now on the mobile store, you see we really try to respond to reviews, respond to the support messages we get, which we're trying to grow our like community, like on Reddit, on the Facebook groups. And we actually listen to the player feedback. So some of the players give us a suggestion. And if we think it's something that makes sense for the game and that we have resources to do it, we'll try a plan and try to give it to them. And, you know, players are really, you know, really happy that, hey, someone's actually listening to us. And I think that's one reason why we were able to survive this long as a small company, is because we really customer first. And for example, like our current event, you know, we launched it last week and it had a lot of bugs. You know, our QA process wasn't the best. And, you know, I think it was for another game, players were like been really angry. But our players were like really appreciative that A, we saw that there was a bug and we like went in and we just like started making hot fixes. Like our programmer, like he just stayed up until like 2 or 3 a.m. just trying to fix it. And then I'll publish it. Then, you know, the community manager will like write like an update, be like, hey guys, please update your game to the latest version, we fixed these bugs, we're really sorry. And then people, you know, the community wrote back to us and was like, wow, you know guys are awesome, guys. And they know, like, everyone makes mistakes, and you know, but they were really appreciative that we actually took the time and responsibility to like correct it for them.
Do you think that's a unique, I'm sorry, Andy, I was just going to ask, do you think that that's unique to being a smaller company? Do you think that the bigger companies just lose that over time? Or do you think that's something that bigger companies should be doing? Do they even have to do that?
I think every company should be doing it because, you know, there's not another customer, right? If you lose the customer, you know, they're gone. and trying to get back that customer is much harder for any company, right? So, you know, that's why, like, I think Amazon, at least in my eyes, is, you know, there's probably other reasons, but, you know, their customer service is pretty good. And, you know, for example, I have Prime, right? Something's bad, I just say I'm going to return it. They don't even ask why anymore, right?
Yeah.
They just know, hey, you know, they probably have some, like, algorithm that knows that, like, you spend this much. As long as you don't, like, return more than this much, they don't care, right? They rather just take the hit and make sure that you're happy, right? As long as you're not gaming the system, right?
Right.
And, yeah, so it's both sides, right? So, I mean, if I was gaming the system, I would expect them to be like, hey, you're banned or we don't care, right? And the same with us, too. Like, it's not like we just listen to every single player, but we're respectful. And, if, you know, we see, like, hey, we made a mistake, we'll correct it. And if we can help the player, we'll help them at the same time, yeah. So, yeah, going back to your question, I think every company should be doing it. And I think, you know, and maybe for the big companies, is that, so I guess they're just, like, focusing on different metrics, maybe. Our main metric for the company is how many players are playing our game. Like, that's it. Like, we don't look at, like, we look at other metrics, but that's not our focus. Like, we never go, like, hey, for the next release, let's try to, like, you know, increase the revenue, like, 5 times or whatever, right? It's like, hey, if we do this update, will the players be happy? Will more players, like, stay long in the game, play the game more, tell their friends about it? So that's, you know, kind of our metric.
Have you guys ever thought of launching a real-life pizza news network? And if so, can Steven and I be the hosts?
I'm down with that.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I thought about this, yeah. And there's, you know, actually, you guys can look them up. There's actually two of them, but one of them I know is called PMQ Magazine. So if you actually work at a pizza shop or you own a pizza shop, it's more a B2B kind of magazine or newsletter. And basically, you just talk about pizza. It's all about pizza news.
What's it called?
So just check them out. Yeah, just type in pmq.com. I think it's pmq.com, yeah. But yeah, it's pizza, yeah, pmq.com. Steve, who I know who runs it, he's great. Gave me a lot of, asked him a lot of questions.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's all about pizza, right? And, you know, it's more for the people who run the pizza business, but it's pretty interesting. And sometimes I just come here and take a look and try to think about inspiration for what we can also use for PNN.
It's Pizza Magazine Quarterly.
Little Caesars combines pizza and breadsticks in one pie. Okay. Linking meat to COVID-19.
Yeah.
Wow. They really, I mean, they're going in. They're going in on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's really down the rabbit hole. But yeah, it's really popular. So all the pizza owners are, you know, they're looking on the site, just trying to, just get the extra help they need, right? You know, and they do a pretty good job because they tell people, like, hey, you know, again, customers, you know, customer first, how to treat your customers, how to serve the customers, how to keep the pizza hot, you know, stuff like that. So I think they're doing a good, good thing for the industry.
It's awesome. Andy, any final question before we get into rapid fire?
Oh man, I want to order like a pie right now. And I do wonder if you guys feel the same way. Why is it that you can't ever feel full eating pizza? I can eat pizza, I think, until I just die.
Until you puke.
Like, I can have like, I can have like some sushi. I'm like, oof, that's enough for now. Kind of fill off from that. Or like a burger or french fries or like eggs or steak and eggs. But like pizza, I can go in slice after slice and still feel like I can go in for more. It never ends. Ever.
Yeah.
Why is it, Anthony? Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe it's just that good. And your brain just wants to like ignore the fat.
Yes.
Maybe, ignore your stomach.
Maybe it's like what fat and salt do. Like it's the combination of fat and salt. Because there's one other food that's that way for me, and it's bacon. I could eat just bacon, keep it coming. Just all of the bacon. And what is bacon? It's fat and it's salt. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. Yeah, it's a good good observation. Yeah.
So I wonder if our brains are programmed somehow to just not stop eating that. All right. So it's time for rapid fire. This is where we get to know you a little bit better. We get to see how your brain works. The first question, I'm going to get away from food for a couple of questions here. I'm going to start you off with a simple one here. Would you rather have the power of invisibility or flight?
Flight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself?
I think the dumbest way is, I think growing up, I was really into bikes too. And I was just trying to do wheelies, you know, and not wearing a helmet as a kid, right? Think invincible. And I didn't see the curb, like the sidewalk in New York, like one part was just like higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit that going full speed, flipped the bike. I flew off of it. And I think the bike landed on top of me.
Perfect.
And that was perfect. Yeah, that hurt. I still visual. Remember that. That hurt really bad. Yeah.
What's the dumbest trend you fell for?
Dumbest trend?
I think
maybe baggy jeans.
Baggy jeans. Yeah, see, like the Jenkos, do you have those stupid things?
Yeah.
I didn't have those, but, you know, I had baggy jeans growing up in New York. Everyone had baggy jeans. And then now I look at pictures of me with baggy jeans. I'm like, what was I thinking?
That was like with the rave scene. It was like rave scene, baggy jeans, black t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think for me it was yo-yos. I don't know why. Why did I think I would be good with a yo-yo? Remember when they had like the ones that were like, what were they called?
When they came back in style?
Yeah. It was like, I was in probably seventh or eighth grade. So we're talking like 99, 2000 around there.
Yeah.
Oh, they would auto walk the dog?
Yeah, like you would just hit it really hard and it would just like auto spin. And like it had lights and it would like light up and stuff.
So cool.
Duncan yo-yos?
Sure, yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, Duncan yo-yos. Yeah.
What's something you believe without evidence?
About evidence?
So it's a thing that you know in your heart of hearts that is true, but there's no evidence for it.
That people in general are good. I mean, I think so. I mean, that's what I believe and that's what I hope for, right? That's what I believe.
What's the best slice of pizza you ever had?
Best of pizza? It has to be Gino's at Elmhurst Broadway, just a regular cheese slice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more nostalgia than anything. But yeah, to me, every time I'm back in New York, I have to go back there before I leave. Yeah.
Would you rather be a reverse centaur or a reverse merman?
Reverse centaur or reverse merman?
That's basically BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, you get the horse parts on top, they get the human half on the bottom. Or it's the merman top and your human legs.
Fish head, human legs.
I think the centaur, because I don't like water. I can't swim.
Yeah,
neither can I.
Gills would be really annoying.
Yeah.
What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Daring thing I've ever done?
He quit his job as an engineer to make pizza games.
This is not inaccurate.
I think most daring, or maybe not daring, but maybe looking back, most stupid is, grew up in Queens. It wasn't a great neighborhood. So, you know, people try to mug me at least 3 times, but no one ever took anything from me because I just said no, or I just stood my ground. But looking back, now, knowing that I'm not invincible, I'm like, it was pretty dangerous back then. But I remember one time this kid, you know, Street Fighter 2, that Street Fighter was Mortal Kombat were really popular. And, you know, I'll sneak out and play arcade games. And I went to this one big place, and then these two big you know, I was like maybe eighth grade and they're probably high schoolers. They came up to me like, hey, give me your money. Give me those quarters. Right. And I looked, you know, they looked at me and they're like, give it to me. I want to punch you in the face. I'm like, go ahead. I'm like, giving it to you. And I don't know why, but I just looked at a guy and the guy looked at me. And he just started laughing and he just left.
Oh my God, dude. Same thing happened to me twice when I was a kid. And they both involved my bike.
Yeah, and another time someone tried to steal my bike, yeah.
It was, give me your bike. I was like, I'm sitting on it, and no. And they would laugh. And I think it's mostly like, if they'll give it to me, great. But if not, I'm just going to walk away. Now, you said you snuck out to play a game, to play Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Found on that a little bit. Were your parents you can't play video games? You can't waste money at the arcade?
It was more like, grew up in a Chinese family. You know, parents were, they were just, working. My dad was a New York City taxi driver. So they thought, education is the most important thing, right? Like, to get out here, make it to the next level, you got to get educated. So, like, you need to study, right? Don't be playing games or be hanging your friends. So, but you don't care, right? You don't care about that stuff. You're like, whatever. Yeah, I mean, so me and my brothers, we would sneak out here and there. You know, we'll make up stupid excuses like, hey, we got to work on this like side project with our friends, right? And then instead of going to our friend's house, we'll just like go play video games.
Now, wait, I got to ask you one last follow up question before we move on, Steven. Did they ever buff you at the local arcade and then by the ear grab you and pull you out in front of all your friends?
No, but one just time. Me that.
Great.
No. No. Cool. Yeah.
Tell me. Soup or salad?
Now it would be salad.
Uh huh. Makes sense.
Oh, well, yeah.
Based on your damn habits.
What those arteries almost look like. Oh, here's a fun food question. Would you rather have edible spaghetti hair that regrows every night, or sweat maple syrup?
Oh wow. I guess the maple syrup. At least I can clean it off easier.
Right, but if it was like pizza crust dreads, you'd be all about that.
All up in there.
Yeah. I'll just make myself bowl every day.
let's have a bowl of pasta. Sausage fingers or pepperoni nipples?
I'll go sausage fingers.
You know, can I nominate that for like an always question in this segment?
Yeah,
it's so abrasive the way you asked it.
Listen, you gotta get in, get out. That's it.
That's a good one. what is a body part that you don't mind losing?
Ooh.
Wow. Maybe my toes. No, don't really care.
Nipples.
I'd be good with no nipples. Just whatever. Get rid of them.
I mean, that's fine.
What would be true. There though? Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't want it to be like
just like a gaping flat, hole. Like just,
right.
But if it's
more
just
of your chest,
more chest. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll go the Ken doll look on the chest.
Ball hair.
Yeah. Were you a G.I. Joe or a He-Man guy?
G.I. Joe.
Ooh, follow up. Were you a GoBots or a Transformers?
Transformers. Transformers.
No one is GoBots. That's the answer to that question.
Which Power Ranger are you?
Oh. Actually, I was never into Power Rangers.
Yeah, you're a little bit, I could tell you're a little bit older, but if you were to assign a, let's say, Zord and color to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. My brothers used to watch it. I always liked the red one. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe he stood out the most. He's always in the front, maybe.
He was the leader. You're a getter. You're a go getter. I get it.
That's such a crush on that goddamn Red Ranger growing up. Anyway. moving on. What adjective best describes you when you're drunk?
Talkative.
Okay. I like it.
What is getting you drunk?
Ooh.
What is getting you drunk? Like, you mean
what's the drink you are like, okay, yeah, I'm getting drunk tonight. Let's do it. Get me this.
I guess it's vodka shots.
Ooh. Oh my god. Painful.
Death wish. Yeah. What is your go-to drunchies? Your drunk munchies. What do you go to first? What do you reach for? What do you salivate for most after a long night of vodka shots?
It's pizza. Like, I remember going in the East, you know, going to school in the East Village. That's what we do. We just hit up the East Village, and I forgot what the, you know, Bleakers was it? I don't know. They open like 24 hours or whatever. And I was just grabbing a slice at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
There's nothing better. This will be my final question, and then Andy, you could ask the final question. Mm-hmm. Is cereal a soup?
No.
Okay.
I actually have one final question before the final question.
Oh, I see. So I'll take the final question then.
Yes.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on like dollar slices of pizza?
Which one? Yes. The dollar slices?
Dollar slice pizza.
I honestly never tried it, and I'm afraid to try it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just smaller, thinner, less dense New York pizza.
Right.
That's really what it is. It's like
it's missing some of the magic though.
There's something missing, and I don't know what it is yet. I haven't figured it out, but there's also something wonderful about going into these hole in the wall places, giving them $3 and getting a couple of slices and a can of soda, you know? There's something magical about that.
All right, I'll try next time in New York.
All right. Well, hopefully there's no pandemic and we'll meet you there.
Yeah. All right.
Hell yeah. You're in Andy's neck of the woods back home. All right. Final question. Probably the most important question of the entire interview.
Okay.
So I hope you're, and I'm over here is where your camera is. So I'm looking directly into your soul. Okay.
Okay.
I have two cameras. I got this one. That's usually my sky cam. It's usually much higher.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you a very important question.
Okay.
It's so easy, a baby can answer it. And as a matter of fact, many babies have answered this question. Mm. Every guest we've had before you has answered this question. So no pressure. Okay. But if you get it wrong, you're never welcome back here again.
Oh, okay.
All right. So when you do great pizza, awesome pizza, we don't want to know. We don't care. All right?
You don't care anymore.
No. Here it is.
I'm dead to you.
And ladies and gentlemen, you could play at home as well. Simple. You could put it in the comment section below of this interview on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Here's your question. Andy or Steven?
Steven.
Fucking nailed it. Nailed it, dude.
That was a little too fast
for me. That was fast and it was loose.
That hurt. There's been times when you... Guess I've said your name reluctantly for good reason.
Yes, this is it's been. I was on a drought up until last week.
I got the subtle hints, quick draw to my
absolute core. my day is ruined.
It's a good thing it's almost over, Andy.
Right.
Folks, if you like this show and you like what we do here, we have other shows on this very same network. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else, but check us out on Mondays. We do the Dual Screens Gamescast. That's a gaming news show where Andy and I just yell at each other for about an hour about all of the happenings in gaming news. And we are about to start. I think we have it on tap for next week to record our first episode of our new seasonal show called Casting Call, Dual Screens Casting Call. And that's all about us casting video game movies and giving you the plots that come from our brain of originality. And again, if you like what you're seeing on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button, give that thumbs up, hit the notification bell. And if you really like us and you want to throw a dollar at us, go to patreon.com/NDS podcast and you can get a bonus episode every single month. You could vote on the topic of that bonus episode. You will also get a VIP Discord invite where you can hang out with us all the time. It's a great place to hang out. We have a great time. Now, Andy, before we say our goodbyes, before we say our thank yous, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we get kick into that?
Yes, I'm going to tell Paul over at PM Studios that Anthony is dead to me.
Okay.
First and foremost.
Paul.
Yeah. And, you know, we just booked our next guest before we recorded this episode, which is kind of exciting.
Excellent.
And the game is called, and I shit you not, Karen, an Outrage Simulator. this is the world we're living in.
I cannot
wait. We have to accept it. So this is our next guest, and we're so excited to talk about this game.
We're going from the pizza shop simulator to the customer that nobody wants to serve.
Right.
This is great.
Exactly.
Anthony, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. It was an absolute pleasure. Why don't you tell everybody where they could find everything about you, everything about the company, everything about the game, everything about Tap Blaze. Go ahead. This is your time.
If you guys just go to tapblaze.com, TAPBLZE.com, you can learn more about our games, our company, the rest of the team. You know, everyone's been putting a lot of effort into good pizza. Great pizza. And thank you, Steven, and thank you, Andy, for the interview. It was really fun. It was a great time.
Folks, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our theme song is Retro Chatter by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio. Andrew Douglas has done our cartoon art that you may be seeing in the thumbnail. You are definitely seeing in the thumbnail. And Matt Murray has done our logo and our overlays. Thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out tonight. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Anthony. That's going to do it for us. And as always, please be excellent to each other.